Set summer in motion with the most adventurous Honda vehicles yet, like the Passport and Pilot Trail Sport, and the Ridgeline, built for better off-road performance and engineered for more adventure. Summer's here. For a limited time, well-qualified buyers can get a 3.9% APR on a 2023 Honda Pilot, a 2.9% APR on a 2023 Passport, and a 0.9% APR on a 2023 Ridgeline.
Buy online, reserve from select dealers, or visit your local Honda dealer today.
See dealer for financing details.
I don't like
Do I look like a big old... Do I look like Rosie O'Donnell?
Okay. Or you know Melissa what happened Etheridge? Is because I'm house sitting, so I don't have all my correct hair products.
But she does.
And so, and I'm staying in the valley, which is super dry. And so now it's like strawzy, and I don't have any product, and I'm upset.
You're doing really good, baby. You're really...
Okay, all right. Okay, okay, okay.
You're doing so good.
I know.
You're doing... You just need to know you're doing
okay. All right.
You're doing great.
Okay.
Okay.
Everyone, hello. Welcome to an episode of... Okay. Your hair is all fucked up too.
Is it all right?
Between the two of us, we definitely
like
need a
fucked
hair
up good or fucked up bad.
I mean, it was like a little off, not like super good.
Is it? So my hair's not good.
No, now it is. It was just sticking out to the side. Oh. Welcome to another episode of Not Cool. Hi, you guys. So we took a little two-week break, if you will. I chose to take a little break. I needed a break. I haven't... there's been a lot going on in my personal life for the past 8 months, I'd say. And I really haven't kind of taken a minute. And so I went back to Louisville and I was going to do podcasts there, but it turned out I was like, you know what? I'm going to be here just without sticking microphones in people's faces to do a podcast. And so it turns out we're doing a really kind of low key episode today with my wife, Jen Rosenstein, joining me. Hi, Jen.
Hey, baby.
Hi. So, and we have guests coming back next week. Not that Jen Rosenstein is not a guest.
I'm not a guest.
But she's also family. So, you know, thanks for chilling out with us for a couple weeks, and I'm glad to be back in the Not Cool Space studio. But yeah, I'm definitely, you know what, guys? I'm somebody who I think I need to take breaks in this past, not in a bad way, but I think I'm working on myself, and I'm also a hider-outer. I'm a runawayer. I'm going to quit, not tell anybody, leaver. Like, mm-hmm. It's kind of my jam. And so I'm working on not doing that. So just trying to find the balance of not getting overwhelmed and completely quitting. Because I do love to quit. I don't love to quit. I won't say I love. That's not correct.
I mean, you like to just ghost.
I like to ghost.
You're a ghoster.
It's something, I don't know, it's probably some childhood shit. In fact, you know what? I was talking about that the other day. So I grew up in a really alcoholic home. Mm-hmm. And my dad was an alcoholic. And he and all his brothers, they're an Irish Catholic family. There's seven of them. And when we went to my grandpa's house, their parents' house, they all the brothers would get in fistfights. Mm. And I was there by myself, like, eating push-up pops and drumsticks and shit.
Oops.
Yeah, just trying to soothe myself. And so... but they, when they would get in fights, I would take off, like I would slide out like when the door was cracked open. Mm. And so my Uncle Mark came up with this song for me, and it was, because my middle name is Rose, so it was Sarah Rose, Where She Goes, Nobody Knows. And he would sing this every time I saw him.
How'd it go? How did he sing it?
Well, not very well, but he's like, Sarah Rose, there she goes, where nobody knows. Or I just did it wrong already, but like that. But I was like, what is he? It pissed me off so bad when he said it. Mm. But now that I'm older, I'm like, oh, yeah, I do ghosts. I'm a ghoster.
Well, I think you just hit a point.
I do.
And then you either shut down, you get cranky, or you just leave. No, I mean this with love. We all hit our points. And sometimes I think it's good for you just to say, good luck.
I have to.
Yeah.
I'm somebody that gets very easily, I will say the word overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed's better than
cranky. I get very, I have to regulate a lot. Mm. I heard this very therapy of me to say, but I did hear, because you know how people do their, you know, what kind of person you are, like, what kind are you?
Like an introvert.
No, not an introvert, but like, oh, dang it, when you have to, what's the R dynamic? I'm the goer-away or you're the come-to-er. What's it
word? Yeah, I chase and you run.
Yeah, but what, there's an actual technical term to it. I'm avoidant.
You're yeah. definitely an avoidant.
And you're what? Needy. Oh.
I'm the lover. It's okay.
I love you put a positive spin to yours. I'm a lover
pusher. I'm a lover obsessor. I'm trying to make a negative. I'm a lover doer.
Do you see?
I'm lover.
I'm transparent, honest. You're like, I'm a lover that's passionate.
And a go-getter.
No, you're like a fear of, you're in a fear of abandonment kind of person. You have that.
Yeah, like fear, like there's an avoidant and then there's a, I don't know what the
opposite. Stalker.
Okay.
So.
Hey man, it worked. Got the ring on it.
So So somebody like I just, if there's too much stimulation, whatever it is, whether it's attention, whether it's conflict, whether it's literal noise, mm-hmm. it might be some spectrum stuff. I mean, I've taken all kinds of medication for that, Ritalin, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But it definitely gets to a point I do need to leave. To get back to base.
Yeah.
Because that, so I will say, so when I took a 2-week break, it was just so that I was able to come back and continue to do it filled up, like better.
Do you feel filled up?
I do. And now, like when I came back today, I was like pumped to be here. I'm like, oh shit. Like I get to like, you know, see my background. And sit here and be with the whole Comedy Store crew, which is awesome, and you, and yeah, there's just something where I don't like running on E and trying to still give 100%.
Yeah, and also, I don't think a lot of people know this, that in this podcast space,
yeah,
it's not like the most positive, you know, environment of like it could be challenging. Compare and despair, like how does that person have 5 million views on that dumb podcast, or how did that person get that person, and that person went to that place but they wouldn't come to my place. Like it's all this like just like comparing ourselves to anything, but it's more heightened because it's on social media, it's on the Instagram, it's on everywhere. So I think just like how social media can be awful, especially for what I do for a living. I wish I could.
Which what you do for a living, if people don't know, is that you're a professional photographer,
yes.
But you don't do like headshots and shit. No. You do like massive celebrities, musicians, politicians now, vice mm-hmm. presidents, mm-hmm. athletes. I mean, like, you know, very talented people at the top of their field are people that you take right. portraits of for many different, for magazines, for album covers, for all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And just most recently, I'm going to put a quick brag in on you. Stop. If you are on social media and you do follow Jen Rosenstein Photography, then you will see that she just shot, the vice president of the United States.
That was cool.
That, what? I mean, I was not there because I was busier. I totally would have gone. No, but so will you tell me a little? Because it's interesting. Like if people see the vice president's image on your, and it was also in a magazine, The mm-hmm. Advocate, mm-hmm. right? More behind that story. But can you tell me a little? They tell me a little bit. I mean, I asked you a little, but tell me a little bit about it because it looked really cool.
I mean, it was such an honor. And you know, like being my wife, you see me in my career, you see me at home waiting sometimes for emails, for phone calls, for text messages, for like approvals or like mm-hmm. whatever. And some days I might be like, my life is horrific. Like I can't stand, I'm dead in the water, whatever. And then what happens?
You get a call that you're going to shoot the Foo Fighters 2 minutes later.
That or
the vice president.
Or, you know, it was cool because, like, that day I was having a kind of an emotional, I mean, look, like, we're all artists here. And mm-hmm. even if you're not an artist, like, life is like it ebbs and flows. Like, we have seasons. It isn't always amazing, you know, mm-hmm. in anything. And it's, I think for me, like, I have to have some really thick skin in this business, in life in general. But so that day particularly, I wasn't in the most emotionally awesome place. And I just got asked to do Leslie Jones's book cover photo, which was so cool. And yes. You were there when I shot that.
So funny. Yeah.
I was on the phone to the publisher about that, and I get an email mm-hmm. saying, hey, if you're not too busy, we have a magazine cover that we would like you to shoot, and it's for the Vice President Kamala Harris. Mm-hmm. But if you're too busy, let me know. Yeah. Let me know. And we'll find another solution or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I remember on this conference call and getting this email and being like, I'm sorry, I gotta go. Like,
yeah.
I had to, like, look at this email, and I responded back right away. I'm like, yes, of course. Let me know when, where, and I'll be there. Anyway, so it was such, like, a special opportunity. And if anybody knows my work, they know I've been very political the last several years, mm-hmm. probably since I knew what politics was, since I was a teenager. So the fact that I was invited, this is the second time I've been invited to the White House in mm-hmm. 8 months, 10 months.
It's crazy, yeah.
Like, this last 10 months, like, I was invited to shoot the press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, in the White House, in the West Wing. And I shot her portrait in the vice president's office. Mm-hmm. And then a month later, I was meeting Hillary Clinton for something else. Mm-hmm. And then I ran into Karine Jean-Pierre at this GLAAD event in New York, which was so fucking rad. Mm-hmm. And then here I am again with the vice president, and then in the West Wing of the White House. It was such, like, a special assignment. I rode in the motorcade in Los Angeles. So sorry, everybody in LA, a couple weeks ago. Yeah. That was really special. I met her at LAX, and then we did the motorcade. It took us, like, a whole 15 minutes from LAX to downtown LA. I don't know how she's going to do when she comes back as a normal Jane in Los Angeles, not having the motorcade. The water's, like, split.
No, you. I watched it. You sent me a video from inside the car, the black car. And no, but it's one of those things, like, of course I've maybe seen a motorcade, probably not the president, but I've seen, mm-hmm. you know, I've seen the Oceans part for car chases and stuff.
Car chases on Fox 11 News.
Yeah. I've seen a good car chase. So that was amazing. Like, the fact that you were inside the car. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was so rad. Like, listen, like, you know, I've been on stages in front of 50, 60, 70,000 people shooting the biggest rock stars in the world. Like, yeah. on the stage, behind the drum kit, shooting and here. There's nothing that fucking matches being a fucking vice president of the United States motorcade yeah. driving through Los Angeles in rush hour.
Yeah.
That was the coolest. I'm getting goosebumps. That was the coolest fucking thing.
I mean, how do
that
you?
That was my highlight of my career, being a fucking presidential motorcade.
You're just That's a it. Photographer being in the motorcade. And I'm like, how do you deal with normal life now? I mean, my God.
I mean, it's going to take a lot for me to drive to the West Side.
Yeah.
You're going to really have to better me up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that happened, and then they were like, oh, can you come back to the White House, and you have 60 seconds to do this portrait.
60 seconds. Yeah, it's always that seconds. Window of time, right?
And people didn't believe me when I share that, like, on the Instagram. I'm like, no, really.
Why is it?
It was like...
Because that's this, even though when you went there the first time, not the vice president, but I'm sorry.
The press secretary.
The press secretary. Yeah. It was, so you're like, I have 2 minutes. Like,
yeah.
And then with the vice president, it
they're was very 60 rigid seconds. On time. And, you know, every second's counted for. And thank God, you know what I mean? Mm. Like, they run our country. I hope every second is counted for. Yeah. Unlike me, like, on the toilet hour later on Instagram. I'm coming. You know, like, I'm running a few minutes late.
Yeah, no, I actually really appreciate that structure. I'm like, there's a lot of things that I would appreciate being like, you have 60 seconds. Wouldn't
yeah,
that be like, amazing? Like, phone calls.
You know, somebody told me recently, they're like, you know, I give myself I have an app on my phone that gives me 5 minutes on Instagram a day. But I briefly saw that you shot the vice president, and that was cool. I'm like, who are you?
Who was she?
Amber. Loves mom.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, she's so stable.
She's so stable. Yeah. These are stable, not mentally ill people.
No, literally somebody that is so grounded mm-hmm. to reality and earth and her being, her surrounding. I mean, like, the person that she... It's like a pearl in an oyster these days. You're like, wow!
I'm like, how do you do it? How do you do it? So that was really neat. I had a very, only had a few minutes with the vice president. Mm-hmm. I also had laryngitis. I want to add that.
I remember that.
The VP and I lost our voices at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And then when I had to go to the White House, less than a week later, my voice was completely gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the phone to the White House trying to explain to them, I'm okay. I just can't talk.
Sure they welcomed your bacterial infection into the White House.
I know. Sorry. but I got in and, you know, it was fine. And it was really it was really special. What was really cool about that, so not only was the water split, right? Is mm-hmm. that the saying? When I was waiting to go in to do this portrait of her, I was mm-hmm. sitting in the West Wing with the security. Why can't I think of the name of the security that the White House has? Secret Service. With the Secret Service, her team.
I was like black suits?
Black suits.
Mafia?
The mafia, yes, basically.
I was thinking of the Will Smith movie, Men in Black.
Oh, Men in Black. Men in Black. and I was sitting there, and I was talking to, the VP's press people, and all of a sudden you hear, is that Jen Rosenstein? And the VP's people were like, over there in the Secret Service point, and they're like, Miss Rosenstein, you're being
Miss Rosenstein. And
it was the press secretary, Corinne Jean-Pierre,
yeah.
running. She was opening up the office to the room to go into her press conference, and she looked over to the West Wing because it's by the VP's office, and she was like, "Is that Jen Rosenstein?"
Yeah,
and I was like, "Oh my god!" And she was like, "Oh my god!" And we ran through the West Wing, and then embraced.
That's cool.
It was the coolest fucking thing. I don't know why that was so cool to me. It was just I have friends here, and And gosh darn it, people like me.
They do like you. I just picture you guys hugging and then Joe Biden walks by and just falls.
That didn't happen.
You're like, are you okay? That didn't happen. What people really want to know, did you see Biden fall?
No, I didn't see Biden fall. But that was really neat. It's okay. Funny. It happens.
A lot.
Look, man, I trip. You trip all the time.
You're a
tripper bird.
I do have bruises all over my body.
You do.
Yeah.
It's okay. It happens,
I should wear
man.
A full padded suit with a
on your head.
Yeah, a helmet.
You should wear a helmet.
That's what I said. You should definitely. I take great pride in
you
that.
You should definitely wear a helmet. Anyway, that was a long story. But yeah, no, that was really neat. That was a really cool highlight. That I was chosen to shoot that. It was cool.
You say that a little with a little spice.
I'm saying this in a very general way.
Yeah.
You know, I had, the work that I do, I have to learn to trust people, and I hire people, and I have crews that I bring on that I trust. And it's, as you know, as my partner in this crazy life, that I don't trust people lightly.
Mm-mm.
It takes me a second. I don't like you, really. You kind of have to show me that you're not a piece of shit.
Okay.
No, it's true.
No, which is great. It's the opposite of what I am.
Because
so
you're
it's
like,
always...
oh my God, I love you. I'm like, Sarah, how are you telling them you love them? You've never met
them.
Okay,
let's pull it in. I do not tell people Sarah, I love that. I've gotten better.
Sweet girl. But you've
I've gotten better.
You have.
I have gotten better. But the thing is, what I was talking to Jen about the other day is there's something innately in me that I think is in my DNA that no matter how many times I've been burned, and I've been burned so many times.
So many
times.
You have.
So many times.
You have. Top of my head, there's handfuls.
So many times. It's fine. Whatever. We all have. Yeah. But I still every time I come back to it, I'm like, that's it. I'm not being nice anymore. I'm not trusting anybody anymore. And there I go.
Yeah.
One more time. Like, I meet somebody. I'm like, I think they're a good person. They have good intentions.
And I love you.
And I think I really like them. And so, yeah. But I will, can I say, I this is why I don't think it's a trait that is easily that's going to go away from me. I just think it's in me. Like, yeah. I just do.
Well, you're a good person.
No.
Because you don't burn people. You don't do shitty things to people. You're genuinely like a very, you're a love bug.
Thanks,
you truly
Jenny.
Are.
You're yeah, a lover. I will take that. I've been on the planet long enough to be like, you know what? I think you're right. Like,
you are. You're
I,
a lover.
I genuinely try my best. So, so because I have that perspective and rose-colored lenses, which I'm wearing right now, which are a new purchase. Yeah. I got them because I want to feel better about my life. So,
and how is it working?
It's great, actually. I highly recommend if you're in a depression or I'm not in a depression, but I have like a really fucked up perspective that's a little darker, I think. Putting rose-colored glasses on actually is a physical thing you can do that actually helps.
I love it.
I know. It's Bananarama. Awesome.
And they look hot on you.
It's a Bananarama thing. So as you guys know, I'm also big on glasses. So it was something. Anywho, I digress.
It's
so
okay.
What I'm saying is that you and I work differently. I mm-hmm. respect the way that you operate because it's definitely a more business-oriented get shit done,
mm-hmm.
prove yourself attitude.
Yeah.
So with that, go for it. You were saying that, but then we digressed.
Yeah, I'm just somebody that.
Love bug
what was that?
So my love bug status.
You are such a. I would rather talk about your love bug status. You know. So what happened recently was I have people on my crew who I trust and I pay for to be with me and I. And I do that because I believe in them and I trust them. And it's like the kind of work I do. I bring people in to like my circle of celebrities, of politicians, of people that normal people off the street may or may not have access to. Mm-hmm. So if I bring somebody into that, I trust them mm-hmm. and I trust they won't do me dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, something happened that somebody did me fucking dirty and they knew it and they reached out to me after the fact and before this one cover came out when I was very excited that it was going to be my image of this very special person. And they did me really, they deceived, it was very unethical what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really sad and it bummed me out and once again reminded me why I fucking can't trust people.
Mm.
I can't trust them. No matter what. Like, I try so hard. I mean, I trust you.
Thanks.
I do.
Also, we don't, yeah.
But, like, I trust you won't do something shitty. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, and as you know, it's taken me a long time. Like, I just feel like people do
with
shitty.
Me,
in general, with people.
I will say with me, I could only speak from my experience, is that it is, you've taken a long time.
Yeah.
I think it's not, I don't even think it's still there yet, but I don't think,
yeah, I mean,
no matter what that's fine.
That's like, my personal baggage.
Yeah.
Like you have your shit, I got my
no,
shit.
I
like
don't.
You're perfect. You're so perfect. But like we all have our shit. Like you're the, I'm the chaser and you're the goer, you
mm-hmm.
know, like, and when you go, I'm like, you're, she's never coming back. This is it. This is the time she's never coming back. She took the dog this time. She's never coming back. She took a bigger suitcase. Now she's just going to Kentucky longer. Like, it's just, it's okay. Everything's okay. Everyone's okay. The world's okay. But yeah, but the same goes with my work, man. Like, I'm so grateful that I have people in my team that I trust. And now I know who I can't trust. And it's a bummer.
Here's the thing. Because your persona, like when people talk to me about you that don't know you,
mm-hmm.
they're like, she's like a badass chick. She's like, she's scary.
Good. Let them fucking think that. Don't fuck with me.
But do you, but here's the thing. Were you, I feel like you were kind of born with that. But also has that, like, has the industry that you're in with male dominated industry,
yeah,
which it is. I've actually, dominated. I mean, obviously seen, I've just been witness to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in it, but
yeah,
I've
yeah.
witnessed the boys club in that particular
and
how they
club.
Treat you or an, or other women.
Mm-hmm.
But I can only say you because I've seen it. But do you think that you've grown a callus because of that or you've grown tougher because of that? You've grown more like, for like resentful, but like, does that make you work harder? And do you think it's shaped who you are now just because of all like kind of the hard knocks that you've gone through in your particular field with men in general?
Yeah. I mean, I am in a very male dominant industry. I think it's starting to change a little bit. I think it's starting to shift, which I love that. Yet I am still in a very male dominant industry. And these boys, these bro clubs, the boy club, like, it is real. It is so fucking real. Like, you know this, like, you, and I won't name bands, I won't name people, but you've seen it. You've seen it first fucking hand. And it is, it makes me hate this business on one hand, and like, fucking try me on the next. Like, I'll fucking crack this shit. I'll crack this code. And when I think I do, it's the wrong fucking code. You know, like, it's so, yeah, man. It's just, it's always been a male dominant industry. You know, there's this one time I was shooting a very, very famous band, and this famous photographer, I was shooting this lead singer of this very, 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 very famous band.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And this fucking dude, who's very well known, who's been shooting since the 70s, 80s, and 90s, comes up to me and shoves me out of the way as I'm shooting this very, 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 very huge celebrity rock star backstage. And this other very, 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 very famous dude photographer who's been around just as long comes up to me and is like, don't let him ever do that again. He's known for doing that. And like, why aren't these guys talking about this? You know what I mean?
Maybe they are on a different podcast.
Maybe they're talking about it on the Bro Cool podcast. I don't know.
Do you know how much talking goes on that we have no idea?
I don't know. I would fucking love to hear if these guys are talking about how fucked up and imbalanced this industry is. I don't hear about it. I don't hear any guys talking about it at all. But yeah, anyway, I didn't want this podcast to be about that. But
no,
like,
but it's fine. Listen.
But that's what we're going through today. It is like, it's been stressful. It's been hard. Like, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of backstabbing that happens behind the scenes of this business. And I will say, like, with all my heart, like, I am happy and I can say with a clear conscience, I've never done that. I've never deceived someone. I've never done anything to lose somebody's trust. I've never been mean in this business. Though people are assholes and say what they will to get what they want. It's, you know, there's a lot of people that are intimidated by me because of what I do and how I shoot it and how I come across. I don't come across mean, but meaning like, I'm like, I don't fuck around.
You're strong.
I am a strong woman and people can't fucking handle that.
Okay, girl, go in.
I feel so passionate about that. People can't fucking
go
handle
in.
It.
Go in. Burn that mic up. Go ahead.
It's like on fire. Because it's true. People can't handle a strong woman. And that's so 1800s bullshit.
Why do you think that is? Are they scared?
Because men are afraid of change. The society is afraid of change. And if a woman comes across too strong, that woman's a bitch or that woman's a cunt and that person is this way and they have to X them out. They cannot handle a strong woman in this world.
But is it change or is it losing power?
Set summer in motion with the most adventurous Honda vehicles yet. Like the Passport and Pilot Trail Sport and the Ridgeline, built for better off-road performance and engineered for more adventure. Summer's here. For a limited time, well-qualified buyers can get a 3.9% APR on a 2023 Honda Pilot, a 2.9% APR on a 2023 Passport, and a 0.9% APR on a 2023 Ridgeline.
Buy online, reserve from select dealers, or visit your local Honda dealer today.
See dealer for financing details.
I think it's a little bit of both, because change can happen when change... So if this is fucking douchey dudes right here doing douchey things, grabbing his fucking douchey...
What are you grabbing? Just giving people listening a visual. You're juggling like balls is what you look like you're doing.
It's like small, tiny half ball, right?
Half.
Do this.
Not ready to give him a half ball, but sure. Like,
boop, boop,
a pee.
Boop, boop, maybe a little.
That's a
tumor. Actually, nothing's even there. Okay. Nothing's even there.
Well, we lost that balls quickly.
Those right. Balls are gone. but like there's this guy or these whatever, and they start seeing, they're used to seeing this, the way it should be,
right?
Like fucking powerful white men doing all their powerful fucking things, right? Like money grabbing, apparently, like, you know, just horrible fucking, I was just going to quote some things, but I'm not going to, but like horrible men out there
okay.
in power, mm-hmm. right? And then they see a woman mm-hmm. that comes around mm-hmm. that is even more powerful. What do you think is going to happen?
I don't know what happened.
They're going to fucking try to cut that woman down.
Sure.
I'm not trying to be like, fuck the man. Like, not that. But like, it's true. Like, what I've witnessed.
Yeah.
In like 41 and a half years of just being alive in this chapter of this world. Mm-hmm. Of what I've seen and been of witness and what has happened that has happened like in my world. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck those guys. Mm-hmm. Fuck those guys. Cool. And you know what? And congrats to the guys that see that and want to uplift women, because there are men like that in this business. Mm-hmm. You know, my buddy Josh Fogel, he's a fucking like, Jen, how can I fucking lift you up?
Jen's number one assistant.
And he's also a great photographer and my longest assistant.
Yes, and he's an amazing photographer.
Josh. And yeah. I've been able to watch him grow and do all that since he was in school. Mm-hmm. You know, that's when we met. We went to the same, we went to Art Center together. Not together, I went years before him. Anyway, I've watched him be who he is because he is a good dude.
Yeah.
He won't cut somebody down. And those are the guys that, like, I cherish and I see them. And I'm like, oh, you're healing my fucking wounds of being a woman that gets cut down by white dudes.
Right.
Or dudes.
But you're also healing your own wounds.
It's not dependent upon. No, you know what I mean.
Yeah, yes. They're doing their my experience, contribution.
But having a new experience can also be healing.
For sure.
You know, and him also witnessing what just happened with this other situation.
Yeah.
He even acknowledged and he like read the text and he read all the shit that he's like, yeah, that's fucked up. He did you dirty. You know, like, and to have that acknowledgement and, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's nice. So, anyway, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. No. Well.
Just got me all.
And that's just, well, you know what? I like to share it with my listeners and my viewers.
You need to cool down with me.
Yeah, because I've been dealing with this since it came out. And, you know, it is what it is. But everybody, you know. Nothing in what I have witnessed or in my own personal life, nothing's easy. Nothing's given to you. Everything is work. You got to keep. But the thing is like, you know, what keeps you? I just started this whole thing by being like, I love to quit. I just.
Yeah.
That's a false statement. Okay. Yeah. I just want to say that.
You're not a quitter.
I'm not a quitter or I would have left a long time ago. Yeah. It's just something that's easy for me to say. It's like a low hanging fruit.
Sure.
And it's whatever. But. Like, what makes you not quit? Like, what, but with all the stuff that comes along with this and like the long spans of time that may go in between of you not working or getting a job or whatever, all the waiting or all the, what's the word I'm looking for? Rejection.
Yeah.
Oof. Like, what keeps you from not quitting? Like, what keeps you just being like, fuck it, I'm just gonna go teach photography at Art Center? Which is not a bad job. It's not a bad job. I just meant there was just an alternative.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah, I think, like, I have no other, like, this is what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a photographer. I direct stuff. I'm an artist. Yes, I have a college degree. I can do whatever the fuck I want to do. Mm-hmm. I believe that. I'll always be okay. Mm-hmm. I'll always be okay because I don't fucking quit. You know what I mean? Like there was times in my life, in my early 20s, where I barely made minimum wage, had no money for gas to get to that job, and didn't know how I was going to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I didn't have anything to like fall back on. So and like I just there's that's just who I like. And I didn't give up. I didn't quit. I wanted to, you know, like, but I didn't give up. I didn't quit. And like, this is who I think I have too much fire in me.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, this is what I'm going to do. I have goals. I want to do this. I want to have this. Like, I have a bucket list of things that I want to accomplish. And I haven't done those things yet. And I'm not going to fucking quit. I think people want people to quit.
For you. Mm-hmm. Most people
There's
do.
Probably a list of fucking names that would love for me to be like, you know what? I'm good. I'm retiring early.
Less compo.
You know? It's true. So, like, I'm not going to fucking, because there's somebody right behind me. And just because of that, I'm like, go fuck yourselves. I'm not leaving yet.
Okay.
I'm still fucking going. You just chill back and shit talk and live your fucking life and have bad karma. And I'm going to keep going. This is all I know. This is all I want to do.
Can I say that, though? Like, most successful people that I've ever talked to, and I know a good amount of successful friends. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm very lucky in that way. And every single time that question comes up, the answers are all the same.
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing else to fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they probably could, they're multi-talented. Yeah. But there's something in them that's just like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's just this enough edge about them that particular alternative
mm-hmm.
won't be, like, you'll always have that edge yeah. of, like, what could have been.
Yeah.
Like, you could have, and you don't want to, like, you know, not living. I'd rather keep going
mm-hmm.
than live with that bullshit voice that is always, like, when I quote-unquote quit. Which I have before. I've done that in comedy.
You self-sabotage stuff.
I've self-sabotaged more than I swear to. I have stories that make other self-sabotagers cringe. They're like, oh my God.
But you've learned.
Which
right?
is a set. 100%.
And what do you not try not to do now?
I try not to not show up.
Yeah.
Like, that's something that I, you know, I. No, I laugh a little because it's nervous when I talk about myself. I shouldn't do that. But. Yeah, I, you know, even before we did this podcast, I was like, I don't know, maybe I should just be real and stuff, like, on the podcast, which is very, it's not difficult for me, I don't mind doing it, but I think there's definitely some speed bumps that happen in my soul when I start talking about real shit, where I'm like, oh my God, like, but yeah, when I know that when I watch other comedians or photographers or artists, human beings in general, I don't care if you work in an office, like whatever, mm-hmm. like when they just talk about real shit,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, tell me everything,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, there's things that I proactively do to not give up.
Yeah.
And a lot of that, I know it sounds pretty remedial, but it's literally making myself get dressed and show up.
Yeah, it's real.
Like, it's half of it.
Sarah's usually up before me. She sets her alarm usually around 6:30 in the morning to get up, make coffee, puts our cat on her lap, and does meditation and writing every single morning while I am snoozing in bed with Pegasus.
It takes a lot of work for me.
And she's still, by the time I wake up, to start my day, she's still doing those things. And this is just for normal functioning.
Just every day.
Just to function.
Mm-hmm.
I just need an extra hour of sleep and I'm good. You need to do all these other things so you don't quit.
Because
you've had a fucking rough year.
Yeah, it's been rough.
You've been, and also, I know we kind of talked about, we want to talk about this, but in a general way, you've been fucked over recently too in the last year. On top of unfortunate, your mother passing. But even before that, there's some shit that went down.
I definitely, before that, like, there's some grief in the loss of, a friendship that I thought I had, which is really hard. Because I don't, which is hard for me is because I don't really, you say that I love everybody, but I don't trust everybody. I can get along with everyone. Like, I, for the most part, give people the benefit of the doubt that are good people until they prove me wrong. And then once you prove me wrong, it's easy for me to be like, bye, bitch, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't have time. I'm too old for that shit. Like, I don't, if you're a dick, like, I'm like, no.
Don't be a dick.
We're good.
Just don't be a dick.
Yeah. So, you know, it takes a lot for me to really invest my time and energy and you know, vulnerability.
Yeah.
Because I'm, you know. And so when I think I have something that's really awesome and great and, you know, fun and I'm totally myself and I can be myself.
You are the happiest I've seen you.
I know.
During that time.
I know.
For real.
No, I know. It's interesting. Like, I felt really fun and funny and light. And then I guess I was ghosted. Maybe that was ghosted.
Do you want to talk about a little of, like, in a general way, what happened?
I don't know. I don't know if I do. Because it's still close. It still bothers me. It's still really hurtful. Like, it's still really, really, really hurtful. And so, I've lost a lot. So there's a grief with that, mm-hmm. that I was grieving before my mother got sick, mm-hmm. and then passed. And it's just been like one thing kind of on top of the other. It's mm-hmm. not even outside circumstances. Mm-hmm. It's like all inner stuff, like inner relationships of like brokenheartedness. You're just like, damn, like, you know, I think I was just thinking about, you know, just humans over our lifetime, like how many times we get our little hearts broken and like, do they ever mend? I don't know. Right. But there's definitely, you know, I feel, you know, it changes. It just, so I'm kind of in the definitely like a grief period where I'm like taking a couple weeks off. I'm like, it's necessity where I'm like, okay, wait, just. Wait, like,
baby, you had to take some time.
No, for sure. Yeah. I don't. That's what I mean. Like, I'm not saying like, oh, I quit. No, I didn't. Like, I actually proactively took care of myself, and like, which I would tell anybody to do. But yeah, it's definitely been a year of loss, and where I kind of have to. And doing this podcast is, you know, just because I started that right. Mm-hmm. My first episode, I think I was filming that while my mom was sick.
Yeah.
And so, you know, then we started putting episodes out, and it's been difficult to kind of be entertaining because I don't feel funny. Mm-hmm. I probably am not funny. Like, there's one comment I read somewhere, like on a podcast, that somebody said, like, she's not the same as when she was on Tiger Belly, you know, like, she's not the same. I'm like, you're right, motherfucker. I'm not the same. Like, you are correct. Like, I am not the same person.
Yeah. Well, since then, you yourself was deceived, and you got, you know. One day you'll talk about it, but what happened was very hurtful to you, to your career, and fucked up and financially damaging and a lot of damaging. Mm. It was almost damaging to us. Mm-hmm. It was a lot. Mm-hmm. It was a lot that happened. Mm-hmm. And I hope one day you're able to talk about it because I think it needs to be shared.
Okay.
You know? No. I'm just saying in general, like, I'm not saying now, of course. I'm not pushing that. But one day, because I think a lot of people can relate more than...
Of course. You know. Look. I am not... This is what's great about what my true desire...
Yeah.
More than anything is connection. Like, I want... That's why I refuse to run away anymore. Because mm-hmm. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you're just... Keep running away, Sarah. And, like, you'll end up completely in the same spot of not just... You won't have to be physically alone, but you will be alone. In mm-hmm. like in your heart. So it's like, stop it. My biggest desire is like, even when people who listen to this podcast, my very minimal followers on Instagram, people who've been following me since the YouTube days, like that shit means the world to me.
Which, by the way, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but like before viral was a thing, before Instagram, I know you're going to hate me saying this, before Instagram, like the Instagram influencers and yada yada, Sarah Hyland, the original Sarah Hyland, made fucking waves before all of this with her videos. But you did. And those videos, if what happened then happened, would happen now, like if that time was reversed, you would fucking be, like people would be all over you, like in insane way. But sadly, they didn't have that back then.
Well, listen. These
platforms have changed a lot.
Well, everything's changed. That was back in like 2000.
But I just wanted to say, like, you're a badass.
Thank you, Jen.
Equally a fucking creative badass.
Thank you.
Like, for real. And thank you. I think you just have had these experiences, not just what happened last year, but things that have happened, you know?
Sure.
With other comics, with other, you know, whoever's that have... kind of written the story, you know, but you keep going.
Yeah.
You do keep going.
But I kind of say this, though, but I like my fucking story.
It's a great fucking
story. I like my goddamn story.
It's a good story.
Like, there's nothing that would change. Yeah. Like, even the little sabotage-y stuff we talked about, like, okay. Like, what? I went to a healer once, swear to God, because I love that shit.
Yeah.
And he said, I mean, you can, whatever perspective you're going to take this in, fine. But, like, he said to me, he's like, Sarah, maybe you were just protecting yourself. It wasn't your time. Mm. And maybe you somewhere knew that. And like, so you know what? So I kind of changed that thing of like sabotage bullshit, like, which is just character defects kind of popping out and taking over, but which is mostly fear. It's my biggest one. But, you know, I think what it is what it is. It is my story, and I'm not done yet. I'm not dead. Yeah, no you know way, what I'm saying? Man. So that's it's like, so I wouldn't change anything.
Yeah.
And like, that's the thing. It's like with the whole social media, why is this such a big deal of comparing yourself to everybody on social media? I don't have 279 million fucking followers.
I hate it so much. I hate it so much.
It's so crazy. I hate it so much. Because it's all perspective.
It is. And it's not true. None of it's true.
Well.
You know what I mean?
It's true with in social media. It meta is. World.
And then sadly, that's how we get things.
Yeah, it's nuts.
With hire to do stuff. But like behind the scenes of all that.
When we put girl, it, oh, no, I know, fuck, I know. Man. I've seen some profiles. Shit. I'm like, you know, that's not true.
You know, it's not true.
That's my favorite.
You know, that's fucking not true.
That's my favorite. I don't know where we are on time, but I think we'll probably start wrapping it up. How are we doing, Katie?
50. Wow, we were just gonna do like a quick little boop boop.
I know. Well, listen. You know, I'm glad I had Jen on. I wanted to have Jen on because I was supposed to have a guest who actually had to reschedule for next week, which next week I have Chase O'Donnell and Jamie Kennedy.
Ooh.
I love their, both of them are amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And also just amazing people, human beings besides their talent. But yeah, I just, you know, wanted to have a real moment since I started this podcast because it's been guest after guest after guest, which is awesome. But I also think it's good that if, you know, my damn name's on this podcast, that, you know, maybe just to connect with, you know, the audience a little bit more to kind of tell them what's going on since we've started. This will be like episode 26. It's still really new, but 26 is more episodes than I've ever had.
Isn't that how old you are?
Yeah, I'm 26. Isn't that crazy?
Isn't that so... It's your golden episode?
Ugh, wild.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's all. I just, you know, I appreciate everybody that has listened so far, that's watching, that takes time to comment. I'm doing the best I can. It will get better and better. Like, I have never taken a course in interviewing. Right, John? Okay, John Sosa's in the room, everybody. Thank you, John Sosa, for giving me... John was the reason I'm even here. I came in to do a podcast with Justin Martindale for Just Saying, which is an amazing podcast. You should listen to it. You should watch all the Comedy Store podcasts. They're great. There's a lot of new ones popping up, too. But, you know, I came in and did Justin's podcast, and John was just like, hey, would you like to have a spot here? And I was like, wait, what? So that's how it just takes one person to be willing to be like, hey, like,
well, that's the thing,
if you want to give it a try, do it. So
we just
I was
need
like,
one
sure.
person in this fucking life to be like, hey, I believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I see you.
Okay, but what happens if you don't have the one person? What if there's somebody out there in the middle of Wichita, Kansas who's like, god damn it.
Then you be that fucking person for yourself.
Okay.
You be that fucking one person for yourself.
What if they're like, but I don't believe in myself?
Then fake it.
How do I fake it?
Just fucking fake it. Act and treat yourself the opposite than how you want it.
Well, what's one thing that they can do to fake it? Like, what is what?
Get up. Wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Brush your teeth.
Brush your teeth. That's a big one. I just came back from the dentist. I lost you guys. RIP for another tooth. I'm so
upset.
My right cheek is still swollen. I'm glad I get kind of like the left side profile because my cheek is still swollen. That's another reason. Listen, man. So I had another tooth ripped out tomorrow, and everybody, or I had it yesterday.
See,
sorry.
She's still high off of the drugs.
And everybody's like, you should have regular visits. I'm like, bitch, first off, nobody asked you. Secondly, I'm just. Yeah, sorry.
It's
I don't know
really,
why I was doing that.
Is there sun?
Well, listen, can I just say I do brush my teeth. I take great, very good
I
care
witness,
for my teeth.
And I see the floss left all over the counter.
Can
you
I
do.
Just say that some people are born with hideous genes for their dental anatomy? Like, can I just, is that a word? Can I just say, so I think I started having really bad teeth problems after there was a lot of drinking and an eating disorder and very not poor self-care.
Mm-hmm.
So ever since then, I've been not doing well in the dentistry department.
Sure.
So I just wanted to say, can we pour one out for another tooth that was lost?
Well, tooth number 31.
31. She did a good job.
She was with you for a long time. She chewed
a lot of carnivoric steak and grapes.
She did.
But if you do are missing teeth, especially one like mine that are one on top of the other, you can store anything in there, like grapes.
Jesus Christ. Like a squirrel, like a chipmunk. Yeah. Oh my God,
you can find purpose in anything. So now I have storage units in my mouth.
I'm so happy about that.
I'm going to rent them out.
You should.
$50.
Okay.
For one hole.
Okay.
Other holes.
That's cheap for a lot of holes, I've heard.
Speaking of, this is the last thing I'll say.
We are obsessed with
the show called Undercover Underage or Underage Undercover?
Oh, I thought you were going to say the other.
I'll say that one in a second. But there's this one show that we're watching on Hulu, Undercover Underage. It's horrific. It's basically about...
Oof, it's so fucked up.
Yeah, like dudes. And this isn't a pedophiles. Man-hating show. Can I just say that? I love... Men can be amazing.
I'm sure men are good.
My dad's fucking awesome. I have two great brothers. So it's not about that. But these guys are disgusting. They prey on literally 12-year-old girls. Yeah, it's about pedophiles. But the other show, really quickly before we round this out, is because I also wanted to talk to Jen about this as a queer woman. Mm. Her and I watched this together. The show called The Ultimatum, the queer edition.
Ultimatum.
Jen, do you want to lay into that before we head out?
Oh my God. Katie, do you have a second to hear about this?
Yeah. Have you watched this, Katie?
No.
Oh my God.
Damn it.
Well, so I've just begun the straight one, which is far more interesting because at least they're fucking, I think.
Oh, you've watched the straight. Yeah. I mean, the Queer Ultimatum is basically, it's the same producers and the creators of Love is Blind.
Yeah, all the shit.
With the metal fucking goblets. Which I'm like, why couldn't they pick something else out of Pier 1 Imports?
Is it Pier 1? Yeah, it's a thread through. It feels very
Pier 1 Imports.
But now it's a thing.
Sale rack.
It's a thing, though. Everybody sees the fucking goblet. You're They're like, oh, God you're damn it.
That show.
Reality show, yeah.
Reality show. Yeah, Queer Ultimatum. I'm surprised Justin Martindale hasn't been talking about this.
He might have, actually. Yeah, he might.
It's horrifying. As a queer woman in this world, I was so embarrassed for the queer community.
It was embarrassing. It was
awful.
Listen, man. Look.
Damn it.
Look.
It's so bad.
My biggest thing about this, because like I said in the straight one, at least they're showing cleavage. At least there's no dogs. There's no hummus. There's no crying. I was like, what are we talking about? I have never heard so much talking about feelings.
Sarah and I had to fast forward like 10 minutes
through the feelings.
For the feeling talk.
I wish I could do that in real life. You know I'm not great with it.
She hates talking about her feelings.
It's too much.
Sarah, how do you feel?
I would rather just go do something.
She would. She would rather go walk around
the reservoir. Live my life. Yeah. In the sunshine.
Talk about feelings. Would you talk about feelings in the sunshine?
How did this come back to me? We're talking about the ultimatum.
Okay, great. So the queer ultimatum, right?
Yeah.
Like, it is horrific, infuriating. As a queer woman, I've been out since I was 17. I'm, 41 years old now. I've been around the fucking block in the queer community. And I've never... Mm. It was, like, embarrassing to be a queer woman watching this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, by the way, straight people watching this
mm-hmm.
queer mm-hmm. ultimatum. That is not.
It's not it.
It's not a good representation of the queer community.
It's not it. I was like, why don't they get like some East LA leather fucking chicks East Side
fucking
tattooed lesbos. Out?
No, this is like weird. Like they all shop at Zara and Urban Outfitters with their fucking big hats, the round. I'm like, this is not unless you're in West Hollywood. But also on another reality show, like. These reality queer women that they have, it's so... John, we're talking about the Queer Ultimatum.
Have you seen
it? We're talking about reality queer women. That's
why
I stepped in.
Oh, it is.
Did you watch it? Has Justin talked about this? Yeah, we were, actually. Are you queer? You might be a queer
You're a queer woman. Right, John?
The queerest.
Listen, the only reason... Listen, okay.
We just had to talk about it.
We could go on and on and on about this, and I'm surprised we didn't start this at the beginning because I have so much rage.
So much rage about
this. Because, one, Okay, there was nobody fucked except for one couple.
This is her talking about her feelings.
One couple. Yeah, it's called rage.
This is how she talks
about it. No, they're one couple, John, and it took them forever. And then the other couples were literally wearing like turtlenecks and fleece overalls like this, to go to bed. Like,
the way I feel.
Not though. Turtlenecks.
Turtlenecks. Turtleneck, and then they're like, literally. Do you mind if I bring my dog in the bed?
That turtleneck looks really, you know, good.
Not even that. They weren't even that sexual. They were already like, crying.
They're like, I just, you know, it's I went to IKEA once. And it was really
so. Will you talk to me?
That was their first date.
It was fucked
up. I was like, you know, and then
they would fight, and then one would run, which I totally related to Aussie. I was like, go, girl.
But it
go,
was like
girl.
The first date.
Yeah, it was the first date. So if you're watching that show and you're of any sexual preference, I don't want to claim this. I didn't want to claim
this
that.
This is not my people.
I'm not claiming
these
it.
Are not my people.
I'm not claiming any of those.
These are not my people.
What was the one really annoying one? The what's your name?
All of them?
No, the really annoying with one the that mole? Everybody hated. Yeah.
The one that's just like, I just want to fuck anyone. I'm pansexual. That one?
Yeah.
I can't. Who lives in they all mostly live in LA.
No.
No.
Yeah.
I can't. This is horrific.
That wasn't the best recap, but it does give you a taste.
You get the point.
It does give you a taste.
It'll make people want to watch it because it's that bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Oof, again, there's just a lot of talking and a lot of crying.
Get some Indigo Girls in that shit. Get Melissa Etheridge as a reality show on, you know, get like Katie Lang in
that. I just wish there was more fighting, more drinking, more fucking.
The fighting, they were like fucking like.
But they were lesbian fighting.
Lesbian feeling fighting. Feeling
I mean,
fighting.
Drunken, pulling hair. You fucking bitch!
You're talking
bitch!
About like rough sex.
And yeah, and then they that's fucking how, air punch because yeah. They fucking miss and they fall like down. And like, just those kinds
yeah,
of reality
it's
fights.
It's not.
That's all I'm asking
this has
for.
Been fun.
Has it?
Listen, I want to say this because I know we got to wrap this shit up.
Yeah, let's wrap it.
Proud of you. Proud Thanks, of you Jen. For taking care of yourself. Proud of you for being honest about what's been going on.
Yeah, we did okay.
Is that me? What is
Pegasus keeps farting?
Wow!
So
really
anyway,
bad.
You guys,
but proud of you.
Thank you. I'm proud of you too. You've done some really great stuff.
And so have you. And like
big stuff.
Yeah, man. I think people love your podcast. I know they do. I know they do.
People are very nice on their comments.
Yes.
For the most part,
and it's because people actually they believe in what you're saying.
I feel like
doing.
It's my family that are disguised as other people that are writing.
They might be. Come on. No,
like my
not.
Aunt Elaine and Vicky. And they're like, this is so good. But they'd say it's like Annie from Austin. You're like, no. It's just maybe that's not, but that's.
I think that's your self-esteem.
I'm working on that.
You're doing good.
Anyway, good. We're all a work in progress. Mm-hmm. Nobody's perfect. Nope. And we're just trying. Just don't know what we're even trying for, but just to be better than yesterday. How about that?
That was a good ending.
Thank you. Thank you guys for, again, thank you for being patient with me and getting episode 26 out. We're back on, and I look forward to you guys listening to this episode and also listening to next week's episodes with very funny comedians, both, and multi-talented both. But more importantly, thank you. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Mm-hmm. Trust me, I do appreciate it. And because there's 700,300,000 80 billion podcast out there, and thank you for choosing this little one to listen to.
Oh,
that was like the Southwest thing.
That was.
Anyway, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Have a good evening, day, morning, night.
Wow.
Thank you. Hey everybody, you want more Not Cool? Then go to Instagram and subscribe to Not Cool Pod and or on my own personal page, which is Sarah Hyland Rosenstein, and to watch the full videos of the podcast, subscribe to the Comedy Store channel on YouTube. And please don't forget to rate and review and, of course, subscribe. Thanks for listening and watching, you guys. Stay not cool.